The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashah is Parashas Chayisono. In the middle of the Sedura, Perechov Dalad, the Torah tells us, Avraham zokein bo bayomim, Hashem beirach es Avraham bakol. Avraham was old, getting along in his days, and Hashem blessed Avraham with everything. Rashi explains, he had a son. Since he had a son, so he had to look for a shidduch. He had to look for a good match for his son. Ayim Avraham el avdei zekan beisai, hameishel b'chol hasholei. And Abraham said to his servant, this was his faithful servant Eliezer, the elder of his household, Hameshul B'chol HaShaloi, who ruled over everything that was his. The Mordechai tells us in Yuma that he even ruled over the Torah of Abraham. He even understood Abraham's Torah. And he used to help him teach. Simno yod chotaches yereichi v'ashpi'ach v'ashem elekei ha'shomayim v'elekei ha'oretz. I'm going to make you take an oath. That you will not take a daughter for my son Yitzchok from the daughters of the Canaanim, which I am presently living amongst. Ki el arzi velamaladti telech, but you should go back to my land, my birthplace, and there velakachti shalivni Yitzchok, and there you shall take a daughter, a wife for my son. Why didn't Avraham want to take a daughter of the daughters of the land for Yitzchok? Because Yitzchok was from Avraham, and Avraham was from Shem, and Shem was blessed. That's the son of Noach, which was given a brocha. So they were blessed. And Canaan, the people of Canaan, they were from another son of Noach. They were from Chom. And they were from Canaan, the grandson of Noah. And those were the ones who were cursed. And therefore, it wouldn't make a good shidduch at all to take someone from who is cursed to someone who is blessed. And especially here, that we're speaking about the building of the house of Israel, the foundations of Israel. Therefore, he instructed Eliezer to go back to his place of birth, to his family, his brother's house, which were always also from Shem, and take there a wife. And the Eved said, what happens if this woman refuses to come to this land? Should I return your son to that land? And he said, Ishamalacha, no. He said, guard yourselves. Pentoshivas binishoma lest you return my son to that land. Because Hashem has taken me out of that land. And he has promised and sworn to me to give me this land. And he will help you find a wife for my son. Now here Abraham had a second objection. The first objection was that he didn't want a daughter from the daughters of Canaan. Now he had a second objection, not to take Yitzchok back to that land to find a wife. Rashi brings that when he said that Yitzchok will not return to that land, Yitzchok won't. Yaakov will. Not Yitzchok, but Yaakov will. The question is, what was Abraham so concerned about allowing Yitzchok to return to that land? And look for a wife there. Two reasons are given. See, one reason is that we found that Yitzchok never went out of Eretz Yisrael, even though Yaakov did. Yitzchok did, because Yitzchok was sanctified as an Ole Tamima. We learned last week of the Akedah Yitzchok. Yitzchok was offered as a sacrifice, and this sanctified him. And because of this sanctification, we find that Yitzchok never went out of Eretz Yisrael. Just like A sacrifice, a korban that's sanctified, has its gvulim, has its certain boundaries. And also we find for that reason Yitzchok never took a second wife. He never took a shivcha, he never took a maidservant. He only had one wife, Rivka. While by Yaakov was not that way. So that would answer why he didn't want Yitzchok to leave Eretz Yisrael. But we see here a further objection. That he said, Yishom Elecho, guard yourself, do not return my son to that land where I went out of. Do not return my son to that land. So what was the objection there? Well, there we can say another answer, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham, Lech Lecho. He told Avraham to break all ties with that land. Lech Lecho me'atzecho u'me'maladetecho. Go out of that land. Go out of the land of that your birthplace. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to break, that Avraham should break all ties. And bro karedabua, says a son is like the father. So therefore Abraham had understood that he must not have any ties with his old land or his son. Yaakov can, the grandson can, but not he or Yitzchok. So therefore he said, do not take my son back there. Then came up the problem, well, what happens if Eliezer is unsuccessful in finding a wife? What should he do then? So he says, then you come back and you'll be free of your oath. So then the Torah tells the story that Eliezer took 10 camels and camel leaders and called two Vadein of Biyodei, and all of the wealth of Avraham he took. Now Biyodei means in his hand. So the sages ask, how is it possible to take all of the wealth of Avraham in his hand? So they explain that Avraham wrote a shtar. He wrote a document giving everything he owned, legal ownership, to Yitzchok. He wanted to make sure that the family there will be anxious to marry their daughter to Yitzchok. And he went to the city of Nahor, to Aram Naraim, Avraham's old city, and the city of Nahor, Avraham's brother. He came to the Be'er Mayim, to the well. And it was towards evening, Tzeisa Sho'aves, at the time when the shepherds were coming to draw water for their flocks. And Eliezer said to himself, he said a tefillah, a prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should lead him in the proper way and do chesed with he and his master. He said as follows, I am by the well, and the daughters of the city are coming to draw water. The daughter, the young girl that will come, and I will ask her, Hatino chadech ve'eshte, please give me some of your water that I can drink. And she will say, drink. Ve'gam gemalech ashke, and then she will add to that. And she will say, not only you drink, but I will also give you water for your camels. Then esa hochachta la'abdecha le'yitzchok. It shall be proven that this is the one that is the right one for Yitzchok. And then I will know that you, the Almighty, has done kindness for my master. The question is asked, what was Eliezer doing here? He was making sort of a test. Was this a superstition? He'll make a sign, because actually the Gemara and the Rishonim go into it. Was it a nichush? You were not allowed to make signs like that, to say if such and such a thing will happen, then I know it's for sure this way. And if other things will happen, then I'll know it's not like that. Not allowed to make superstitious signs. This is what is known as nichush, as darkei amayri. Is this what Eliezer was doing? So the answer is given by many, that no, superstitious signs are signs that have no logic whatsoever behind them. For example, you say that if you get up in the morning and it'll be a sunny day, then I'll buy the property. If I get up in the morning and it's a cloudy day, I won't buy the property. There's no logic to it whatsoever. But here the test was built on logic. What was the test? He was testing her with gemilas chesed. I'll test her with a kindliness. I'll ask her to do a favor, to do a tova to me. And if she'll do it, then I'll know she's for Yitzchok. And Rashi explains, Ruhi lei shetei gemeles chasodim. Kedai likonis bebeisui shel Avraham. If she is a gemeles chesed, if she has chesed and goodliness in her, then this is a sign that she's fit for Yitzchok. And this is a sign that she is fit for my master's house. Because Abraham's house was the house of chesed, like we learned in the last week's parsha. Abraham was the Amud HaChesed, the pillar of goodliness, of kindliness. Like we learned by the Orchim, when the wayfarers came, Abraham went and did everything possible for them. So therefore Eliezer said, I'll test her. I mean, he wasn't testing her with some superstitious signs. He was testing her character. If she has a character of goodness, then I know that she is fit for Yitzchok and she is fit for the house of Abraham. Now the story continues. As soon as he finished saying this, Rivka came, and Rivka was born to Besuel, that was her father, who was the son of Milcah. Milcah was the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother. And she was very, very beautiful. And she went down to the well, and Eliezer ran to meet her. Here the question is asked, why did he run to meet her? He didn't know anything yet. He saw something. He saw that the waters came up to meet her. And this was a sign that he had seen by his master Abraham. Abraham, when he used to go to the well, the waters would start to gurgle and bubble forth. And he saw the same thing happened with her. And right away then he had an indication that he's on a good track. This was a sign of the great tzaddikim, of the great righteous ones, that the water that's a source of brocha would come to meet them. We see this was by also by Yaakov this happened, and by Moshe. So he ran to her and he said, Agmini no miat mai mikadech, can I have a little water from your jug? So she said, Shesei Adoni, drink my master. And she ran to draw some water for him and gave it to him. But Chalash Kesen, when he finished drinking, then she said, Gam ligmalecha eshov, I also will draw for your camels. This was quite an effort, because there were 10 camels and a camel drinks a lot of water. And this is what she did until they had finished drinking. She ran and she back and forth and filled up her jugs and gave water to all the chol batishav lechol gmalov. Gave water to all of the camels. Voyish mishto'ei, and he machrish lodas atzliach Hashem darke imlai, and Eliezer was standing and watching a miracle take place in front of his eyes. And now he just had to find out if she was from Abraham's family. So he asked her. He was certain already, but he asked her. And she said, yes, Bas Besuel Elanechi, I am the daughter of Besuel, who was the son of Milcah, who gave birth to him to Nochor. Then the story continues. Why he tested her with an act of chesed, that we explained. Because Abraham was the pillar of chesed. The Gemara says, Al gimel avudim ha'olim omed, there are three pillars that the world stands on, and one is gemilas chesed. This is a Mishnah, the Mishnah Masechet Ovos, the first perek. And this was the pillar which Abraham established. The fact is, the Rambam brings that this, that we know how to take care of wayfarers, and this, that we know how to escort wayfarers and how to do goodness for other people, this Abraham taught the world. This was the great path that Abraham had made. And therefore, his house was a house of chesed. And Yitzchok had learned from this. So a shidduch, a match, a marriage must be similar in great character and in values. Therefore, Eliezer would test her with Midas HaChesed. But we can ask another question here. Why did he test her twice with Midas HaChesed? He said, I'll ask, when I'll see a young lady come to the well, so I'll ask her if I can have some water. And if she will say, yes, I will give you water. And then she will say, V'gam gemalecho, I will also give to your camels. This is the one that I know will be is the right one for Yitzchok. So he tested her with two acts of chesed. What was the purpose of that? In here lies a great depth, which will give us an insight into the Midas HaChesed. And it's as follows. We've spoken a number of times in the past that there are three levels. There's what is known as Din, Tzedakah, and Chesed. Din, this is where you give something to someone because it belongs to him. Din means justice, law. If it belongs to Shimon, then you must give it to Shimon. Reuven can't keep it. Din is what you do mitzad because of the yesher, because this is what is right to do. This is what is just to do. And you do it because you have to do it. You do it derech hechrech, v'derech chiyuv. You don't give what belongs to Shimon because you're doing him a favor. You're giving it to him because it belongs to him, and you must give it to him. Besides the fact that if you don't give it to him, he can go to the courts, he can go to the police, and they can put you in jail for stealing. But even if there were no courts and there were no police, still there is the concept of law. There is the concept of what is right and what is wrong. And what is right and what is wrong demands that property of Reuben belongs to Reuben. Property of Shimon belongs to Shimon. So therefore, when you give something to Shimon that belongs to him, then you're doing it mitzad ha-yosher and mitzad ha-chiv, mitzad ha-chechrich, because this is what right and wrong demands. This is what is demanded from a person. This is what justice demands. That's the level of deen. Now there's a level which goes somewhat higher than that, and that's stoker. Stoker is what I give from my own to someone else, to Shimon. Shimon comes to me and he says he doesn't have what to eat. So I put my hand in my pocket and I take out some money and I give it to him. Now, that is not deen. I'm not giving what belongs to Shimon to Shimon. I'm giving mine to Shimon. But that is what is known as stoker. Stoker is where you give what belongs to you to someone else, to help someone else out. Therefore, stoker is what is known as lifnim mishuras ha-deen. You're going beyond the deen. But from the same aspect, stoker also has an aspect, a perspective, where it's not totally beyond what the deen demands. There is also a justice and a rightness in it. Because it's not right that a man should be starving next to you and you have money in your pocket and you don't give it to him. It's not right that you should see someone suffering and you can alleviate that suffering and you don't do it. And therefore tzedakah is known as Midas HaRachamim. Not Midas HaDin, but Midas HaRachamim. Midas, the quality of compassion. So therefore tzedakah, from one aspect, is where it is more than Din. You're giving him something that's yours. From the other aspect, though, there is a rightness. And there is a yashrus, a justice, in that you should give him what is yours. And that's why we find that any decent person will be merachem. He will have compassion for someone who is suffering. So therefore, tzedaka is ksas lemala min adin and ksas min adin. It's a bit beyond the call of the law, but at the same time, it's within the structure of the din also. That's why the Baral brings, we find ma'asin, ma'aser al hatzedaka, v'kefin al hatzedaka. We find that in the time of the Gemara, when there was control of the batei dinim, Torah was the law, was the governing law, so the Beis Din would force people to give tzedakah. If they were aniyim, that were hungry, and there were wealthy people in the community that could alleviate the situation, but they refused to do so, the courts had the authority to force them, to come up with some money to alleviate the pain and the suffering from the community. Or we find me'asin, it's a mitzvah, the Gemara brings, a great mitzvah, to influence others to give tzedakah. Because, besides the fact that it is somewhat beyond the call of the deen, it is also something which is right to do, that one should do it. So that's the second level. Then we have a third level. The third level is chesed. Chesed is totally lifnei mishuras hadin. It's totally beyond the call of duty, the call of the law. What is chesed? Chesed is anesein matona lechaveri. You give a gift to a fellow person. Mora says, what's the difference between chesed and tzedakah? Tzedakah la'aniyim, v'chesed la'ashirim. Or bein la'aniyim, bein la'ashirim. Tzedakah you give to poor. Tzedakah you give to a person in need. He's not in need, you don't give him tzedakah. Chesed is something that you do for someone, even though he's not in need. You want to give a gift to a person, and he's wealthy, you can also give him a gift. Why does a person give a gift? He gives a gift because he wants to be mahane. He wants to bring some type of pleasure to another person. So there he's not alleviating a pain or a suffering, but rather he wants to bring pleasure to the other person. Now here, this is not hechrech at all. There's nothing that is requiring him to do this. The just system of law is not requiring him to do it. A situation that calls for compassion is not requiring him to do it. So then why does he do it? The answer is he does it because he wants to bring pleasure to another person. This is what chesed is. And therefore chesed is an entirely lifnei mishuras hadin. While the other levels have a external coercion to them one way or the other, chesed has no external coercion to it whatsoever. If we go into this further, this means as follows. The other levels are not necessarily coming totally from the person himself. There are external factors demanding this from him. While chesed is me'atzmai. Chesed comes from the person himself. There are no external factors whatsoever demanding this from him. If it is, then it falls from that level of chesed. This is why the Maral always describes chesed, now we're speaking chesed at its proper level, as the tova gomer, hateva etzem. It's the goodness at its best. When a person who is always doing chesed for another person, for other people, that's a sign that he is in essence goodness. And he has so much goodness in him, he has to find expression for this by going and trying to find ways of bringing pleasure to other people. And that's what is known as the avas ha-chesed. The motivation is not because of compassion, the motivation is not because of just, the motivation is because he has a love for fellow people. And therefore he has constantly been mishasig with them, bringing and doing chesed for them. This was the midah of Avram Avinu. When Avram came and he taught the world chesed, this is what he taught them. Where do we see this? We see this in many places, and the Torah goes at length. One place was in last week's parsha, by the Orchim, by the wayfarers. Now, even though the wayfarers, people are traveling, and it's hot, and they're all dusty from the road and the journey, and they're hungry and they're thirsty and they're tired. So there, when you want to do good for them, this is not only a chesed. This is more into the level of stoker, right? Because they need something from you, and you're able to give it to them. They need food, they need shelter, they need shade, they need water. This is true. But we see Avraham did much more than that. The Gemara says, we see from the Psukim, that Avraham rotz el haboker, he ran to the flat, to the cattle, he ran here, he did this, he did that. The Gemara in Bamatzi and Arpei Zayin goes to great length that it says he served them a meal which was greater than Shlema HaMelech Beis Malchusa. It was a meal that greater than Shlema HaMelech, King Solomon, used to serve at the time of his kingdom. Now what was this for? I mean, someone is traveling. All right, you make him a sandwich or two. You give him a bucket of water. Give him some shade and finished. But Avraham wasn't satisfied with that. Now there we see Avraham wasn't merely alleviating the needs of these people. He was going way beyond this. Secondly, we see Avraham was sick. That time he was sick. It was Yom Shlish Lemilose. It was the third day from the Bris Mila. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had come to be Mevakeh Chayla to visit him. And Avraham could have exempted himself from the whole business. And still, rots. He ran. He was a man 99 years old. He had just undergone a serious operation for a man of that age. Thirdly, we see that because of the heat of the day, there were no travelers. And Avraham was mitztayer. He was suffering from this, that there were no travelers. Because he couldn't fulfill this chesed, to the point where HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to bring these travelers in order to alleviate Avraham from the suffering. Now, what was he suffering from? I mean, when it comes to stoker, if a man is suffering in front of you, then you must alleviate the situation. But you don't hope for people to be in a situation of need where you can alleviate the situation. So what was Avraham suffering? There were no wayfarers, so there was no need. There was no need, so what do you have? What's the problem? So from all of this we see that Avraham didn't do this mitzad stoker. Now this is an important point, that when you do stoker, you can do it from the perspective of stoker. But when you do tzedakah, you can also do it from the perspective of midas hachesed. And this is what Avraham was doing. That he was feeding and taking care of the needs of these people, machmas, because of an enormous motivation in himself to do good for someone else. Because he had so much goodness in him. And when he couldn't find an outlet for that, an expression for that, because there were no wayfarers that day, this caused him a great depression. He was very depressed. To the point where HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to bring wayfarers. And actually we see it from another point also. What would happen if a poor man would come to you? A man would come to you and he would say, look, I'm very poor because of this and this and this reason. Help me out, please. And you give him some money. Later on you find that he's not so poor. He has enough money. He just gave you a story. Would you have the mitzvah stoker? No, you wouldn't have the mitzvah stoker. Avraham, this is the same thing that happened to Avraham. Three travelers came, and Avraham was under the impression that they're all knocked out from the journey. And he went and he made a whole chasna for them. In reality, they needed nothing. They were malachim, they were angels. There's a whole discussion in the Gemara. If they just made off, it's a discussion in the Chazal, if they just made off like they were eating, or if they actually ate, but in reality they were angels. So actually all of Avraham's toil was for nothing. Yet we find the Gemara brings in Bava Metzia that from every act that Avraham did, the reward for that was for generations, forever, for his children. The reason why we had water in the desert was because Abraham went and brought them water. The reason why we had the man in the desert, because Abraham went and brought them bread, and so on and so on. But what did he do for them? Because when you give someone tzedakah from the perspective of tzedakah, in other words, your whole motivation is to fulfill a need. If in reality the need is not there, then you didn't do anything. If you give money to a person because you're under the impression he's starving, but in reality he wasn't starving, well, look, you get an A for effort, but you didn't fulfill a need. But if you want to give someone something because you want to do good for him, you did good for him. What's the difference if he needed it or didn't need it? You did well, you did good for him. And therefore, he received all of this chesed. Actually, yeah. So this is one of the places where the Torah elaborates on the chesed of Avraham. This was his midah. Now, coming back to our question, when Eliezer came to the well, and he wanted to find a proper bride for Yitzchok, and someone that could come into Avraham's home, he knew he had to test her character. So he wanted to test her character with this quality of chesed at its highest level, because this was Avraham's home. Therefore he said, the one that I'll say to, can I have a little water? And she will draw water for me. And then she will say, "Begam, gebalecho eshov," that I will draw water also for your camels. Then I'll know this is the one for Yitzchok. Why? Because when I ask her for some water, now it's true, this I'm testing her with chesed, because Eliezer had plenty of men with him. He came with 10 people, and he could have taken care of his own needs. And I was speaking about a well where he had access to. So he tested her with chesed. In other words, do me a favor. Help me out. But when someone asks you something, there is always the will where you want to comply to what was asked from you. When someone places a demand on you, by nature, you want to comply to that demand. You want to fulfill that request. So if she gave him water, it was chesed, but it was not a total chesed, from the fact that there was a somewhat of a coercion, an external demand, an external coercion, that Eliezer had asked her for it. So therefore he said, and if she will say on her own that not only I'll give you water, but I will also draw water for your camels. Now that I didn't ask her for. That she's doing totally on her own. Then also achachto, then I know that this is chesed at its highest level. This is coming not from external forces, external demands, external pressures, but this is me'atzma. This is coming from herself. And then I know that she is full of the Teva HaGomor, of a total goodness. This is why he tested her with chesed, and then a taste for chesed, an additional chesed. If we go a little further in this, it comes out that the meat of chesed is a works on a total self-motivation. You know, many times we see people will do what they're told. Many people will not do what they're told. You ask someone to do something, or you tell something to do someone, and they don't do it. You have people working for you. You tell them to do it, and you'll say, look, I tell him 100 times, and he doesn't do it. A good worker, or a good individual, is they'll do what they're told. Sometimes you say, I only have to ask him once, and he does it. Good worker. But then you have another individual. These are the rare individuals. These are individuals that do things before you tell them to do it. You don't have to tell them. When something has to be done, either at the workplace or wherever it might be in the community, at home, something has to be done. You don't have to tell them 100 times, and you don't have to tell them once. But the rare individual, he does it. Today we call that leadership. See, leadership is not when a leader tells you to do something, because who tells the leader to do something? That's when he does it on his own. Or we call it motivation, self-motivation. This is entwined with Midas HaChesed when it comes to what we're speaking about. Because the other qualities, the situation demanded it. Forces externally demanded it. So you cannot say that it's something which originated in the person himself, was a total self-motivation. But the situation motivated him. It's also enormous heights. But chesed is even greater. There is not when a situation demands. By Abraham there was no situation to demand. That's why he was so depressed. It's not when the situation demands. And it's not when external facts or forces or influences demand. But without influences and without situations, he goes ahead. So this is self-motivation and leadership at its best. This is intertwined with the Midas HaChesed. And the morale brings, because of this, there's a Gemara in Mesecht Seter at the end of the first perek, the few Dalit. The Gemara says, Aharei Hashem Elokeichem Teilechu, that you shall walk after Hashem. Is it possible for a person to walk after Hashem? Acharei Hashem Elokeichem Teilechu means like you shall walk in his footsteps. Is it possible to cleave to him this way? He's like a fire. You shall cleave and walk in his virtues. What are his virtues? So the Gemara brings a number of them. One is how he gave clothing to the first man and woman. Another is how he visited the sick by Abraham. And another is how he came to comfort Yitzchok when he was mourning. And another is when he buried Moshe. Now the Maral asks, all of these though touch on Gemilas Chasodim. All of this is cataloged under Gemilas Chesed. Kodesh Baruch Hu has many, many midos. When we learn that we're supposed to walk in the way of Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's brought many times. He doesn't anger quickly. You shouldn't anger quickly. He is forgiving. You should forgive. And so on. Why here? He says when it comes to emulate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the human being has the ability to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu at best in Midas HaChesed. Why? Because whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu does something, it's not because he is pressurized from external factors to do it. He's not subjected to any external factors. Anything he does originates in himself. Anything he does is all self-motivated. The whole concept that some factor should motivate the Almighty, that's a concept which cannot be conceived, because he's above all influences. So therefore, anything that he does totally originates in himself. Me'atzmai. Anything we do is always influenced by outside factors. So it doesn't originate in ourselves. The exception to this is Midas HaChesed. Chesed is at such a high level that it's free of all external factors. And originates, proper Chesed originates in the person himself. And therefore the Gemara chooses that when we come to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way we can emulate him at best is in Midas Chesed. And this is why also it uses the word Achrei Hashem Elokechem Teilechu. Achrei Hashem Elokechem Teilechu, you shall walk, because walking is an illustration of a self-motivation. When a person moves because of himself. If we go further with this, it comes out that the quality of chesed is an enormous upliftment of the person. It brings him to a very, very high level. And it's an upliftment, it elevates him from the geshem, from the physical level. Because everything that we're saying here does not exist at the physical level. The fact is, physical level never moves on its own. It's only subjected to external pressures and to external forces and external influences. Therefore, only man has this power of chesed. See, even though if we'll see certain acts, even by animals, but that's all because of external forces. Many times we could see rachamim, we can see compassion by animals. But already that's instinctive. Instinctive means that their nature is demanding that from themselves. Not so by man when it comes to this. Here nothing is demanding, but it's coming from he himself because of goodness which is in himself. And it comes out this is a very, very high level in man. And this is what the Gemara brings in this way, and in this way it is very similar to Torah. The person studies Torah. This also elevates man and distinguishes him from the physical levels. This is what the Gemara brings. The Gemara, it's in the Sechter Rosh Hashanah, and it's also brought in Yevomis. The Sechter Yevomis, Daf Kuf Ches. The Gemara brings that the children of Eli were very, very wicked. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a decree that anyone who comes from the house of Eli will never live enough years to become a man before manhood. They will die. Rachmana Litzlant. And this was a shvua. HaKadosh Baruch Hu became so angry at them that he took an oath. Lochein nishbati lebeis Eli. That I take an oath that the house of Eli will never atone themselves from this Aveira with a Zevach or with a Mincha with a sacrifice. Omar Rava. So Rava said with sacrifices they'll never atone themselves, but with Torah, the study of Torah, they will. Abaya said with sacrifices they won't, but with Gemilas Chesed they will. And then the Gemara brings Rava and Abaya, both of them, they were descendants of the house of Eli. Buddha brings cases where people died before 18 years old. And they said it was a family constantly dying before 18 years old, heaven forbid. They said they were from the house of Eli. Abaya and Rava also were from the house of Eli. Yet, says Rava, studied Torah, and he lived to the age of 40, even though according to this oath he should have died as a young boy. Abaya, he studied Torah and also made sure to occupy himself a great deal with Chesed, and he lived till 60. So therefore the Almighty took an oath and he said, Bezevachu b'mincha. He says that that household will never be atoned with sacrifices, but with Torah and with Chesed they will be. So here we see the two are put into a similar context. And there's a pasuk in Mishle which states, ki, the pasuk states, ki bechesed ve'emes yichupar oven. That with chesed and with emes is truth, this refers to Torah, yichupar oven, a person's aveiros will be forgiven. What is the explanation in this? Because aveira comes from the aspect of the geshem, of the physical being. If a person elevates himself from that, then he elevates himself beyond the physical level. And this is what Torah does for the person, and this is what Gemilas Chesed does. This also is the explanation with the Gemara, the Mishnah in Masechta Ovis tells us, Le Amor is Chosid. The ignorant cannot be a Chosid. And there it's referring to a chosid in Mishim is chasid im acherim, someone who does chesed with others. Amaoritz is the one who cleaves to the earth. He's an ignoramus. He cannot uplift himself. If he cannot uplift himself, then he cannot come to the level of this true chesed, where he can do something for others merely because he wants to do it for others. Not because there are demands placed on him, not because he wants something in return for it, or whatever the other motivations might be, but merely because he wants to do it for the other person. That is not a physical person. That's a spiritual power in a person. And therefore, le'ama oris chosid, that the one who is an ignorant person who cannot uplift himself from the earth cannot come to this level. One more point on this before we go further, and that is, this is a clarification in what we're saying. We must understand that this is the level of chesed, but when a bal chesed, when someone has this quality, when he does stoko, he also does it from this level. We mentioned before that if you give a poor man something to eat, that's not this level. It's a great level of tzedakah. But there you are influenced and coerced because of the need to fulfill the need. So it's like an external influence. That's not chesed. This is true. But this is, many times, a poor man will come. He comes to another person and he says, look, can you help me out? I need some money. I'm down and out. So the other person will say, okay. He says, look, really, I shouldn't give you any money. But since you're down and out, I got to help you. So here, take. Many times people think this way, and many times people say this. Right, this is stoker. It's a great mitzvah. But this is not chesed, as we mentioned. There's another time when the person will give money to the other person, but his motive is, look, I'll be very happy to help you take the money. And he thinks to himself, even if he wasn't down and out, I'd give him the money. I'm not only giving him the money because he needs it. Let him have the money and let him enjoy it. That's another type of giving. It's another type of person. The second type of person is much more rare than the first type. I'll give you another example. You got a person who he gives stoker to a person, to another person, and he thinks, look, you need it, I have to give to you. One Jew has to help another. He gives to him, but it's bothering him in his mind, maybe he's giving him too much. Maybe he doesn't need so much. If he'll find out later on that the person didn't need that much, oi, I shouldn't have given it to him. See? There's another type of person. He gives to the person, and later on someone tells him, you know, you gave that person a lot of money. He needs money. He's not a fake. But he didn't need that much. Doesn't need that much. Or maybe he doesn't need it at all. So that person would say, Gamborchia, let him keep the money and let him have a good time with it. These are two types of people. What's the difference? One is giving stoker from the perspective of stoker, and the other is giving stoker, but not from the perspective of stoker, but from the perspective of chesed. The first one is helping out the fellow because he feels an obligation to relieve the need of the person. That's why he's constantly worried that he doesn't want to give beyond that need. The second one is helping out the fellow. He came to him because he was in need, but he's helping him out because I enjoy helping people. I want him to have pleasure from this money. If he needs it, then for sure it's good. If he doesn't need it, also let him use it and let him have a good time with it. This is stoker from the perspective of chesed. Now the Gemara, there's another description. Gemara calls many times, says a person, there's a person who has an ein tova and an ein sora, an ein ro. An ein tova is a good eye. When he comes to give others, he's not medaktik, he doesn't give with an exacting measure. Like Avraham gave. One of the reasons why it's brought that Abraham, he sent Ishmael for the water, but he himself, see, Rotz al Abokar, he went to the meat, because he was afraid that if he would let someone else give with the meat, they might give, the portions might be a little too small. They'll be too exacting. That's an ein tova. See, a good eye. He wants the other person to have pleasure from it. And then there's an ein ro. The ein ro, that's the one who's careful. He doesn't want to give too much, lest he'll give a little too much. He'll give more than he should have. Since chesed is the source, is goodness itself, this is the ein tov. And that's why David HaMelech wrote, by stoker, reidev stokos bechesed, that even stoker, there's a form of stoker when you're reidev stoker. Not when you wait for the person to come, but you go look for the person who's in need. Now that already is from the perspective of chesed, where you motivate yourself to do good for others, even though the situation is not demanding it from you. Because where the situation is not demanding it from you, then it's the external influences are forcing you into it. We find this by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. States by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Amachal Kil Chaim Bechesed. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives to every living person enough to eat with chesed. They ask the question, what does it mean Hashem gives for every living person to eat with chesed? Hashem created us. If you create someone, the deen requires, justice requires, rightness requires that you feed them. Or we're like servants to Hashem. No, rightness requires that you feed your servants. Or we're like bonim, we're like children to the Almighty. So then rightness requires this. So what does he mean? He feeds us because of chesed. Well, this is the answer we're saying. Rightness requires that he gives us food. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give it to us merely because of rightness. He gives it because of chesed, because he is the source of all goodness, and this is why he wants to give it to us. This was the house of Abraham, and this was the house which Rivka was to come into. And this is why Eliezer tested her in these two ways. Now, I want to go one step further. I spoke about this on Shabbos, but I'd like to elaborate a little more as much as time allows. We see in last week's Sefer, right next to the Parsha of Achnosis Orchim, was the Parsha of Sdom ve'Amora, where Abraham went to argue with Hashem that he should not destroy Sdom ve'Amora. And he wasn't successful, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed it. Does this have anything to do with Abraham and his parsha of Achnosis Orchim? Because it seemingly has nothing to do whatsoever. In Parsha's Lech Lecho, it states, V'anshe in Yud Gimel, Posuk Yud Gimel, V'anshe Sdom, Roim v'chatoim l'Hashem me'od. That the people of Sdom were Roim, they were evil, Chatoim, they were sinful, to Hashem exceedingly. The Mishnah in Masechta Sanhedrin and Daf Kuf Tes Omer Aleph says, Anshei Sdom ein lam chelek leilam abo. The people of Sdom have no portion in the world to come. And the Gemara makes various droshes. One of the droshes is Roim begufam, chatoim b'memonam. They were evil with their bodies. They were sinful with their money, Lashem, and they were Birchas Hashem, they cursed the Almighty. This means that they sank to the greatest depths. They sinned with their body. They were evil. They sinned with their money. And they were kafirim be'ikar, they denied the Almighty. And the Gemara goes in there at length, where it tells us that they came to all types of treachery, distortions, all types of evil. It brings that they had a whole legal system where they used to, which was crooked to begin with. If a righteous person, they would take his money away. An evil person, they would leave with his money. A poor man would come to town. They would write their names. Each one would write his name on a coin and give it to him. And then they would make a decree that no one is allowed to sell him any food. Eventually the poor man would die of starvation and they would all come and take their money back. They were cruel. They would torture people. They were sheikh kedam. They were murderers. They were adulterers. All types of promiscuity. And they denied the Almighty. So they sunk to the greatest, greatest depths. And we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought upon them a punishment like he never brought upon anyone else. Because a number of times in the Torah, when Hashem wants to refer to the great punishment, he says, Kemapechas, Kemapechas, Sdeim Va'amora. Or if someone wants to refer to it, it says, like the destruction of Sdeim Va'amora. The fact is, we don't say like the destruction of the Mabul of the great flood, but we refer to destruction of Sdeim Va'amora. Now, the Gemara brings in many places, in a number of places, the Gemara says, where there's a case of Zen Nenev Zele Chosar, a case where someone can have benefit You will have benefit from it, and I will have no loss. But I refuse to do it. I can do something where I will have no loss and you will have benefit. And I refuse to do it. The Gemara says, Ki gain zeh keifin al midas deim. In such a case, the courts can force me to do it because this is the way, these were the ways of deim, not to do it. Example, this is bar mitzvah. If I have a field and I put it up for sale and I want 5,000 men from it, for it, and I get two offers. One, my neighbor offers me 5,000 rand, and another person offers 5,000 rand who lives far away. So I choose to sell it to the other person. Now, the Gemara says, Kefin al midas deim. That's evil. Because this field is worth much more to your neighbor than to another person. So it's a place where he will have more benefit from it. And to you, it's no difference who you sell it to, because you're getting the same price from both. Therefore, the courts can force me to sell it to my neighbor, because it's zenen of zelechosar. It's a case where he has gain from it, and you have no loss from it. So why shouldn't you do it? Or, the Gemara brings a case of ador bechatzim bechotzer chaveru shelo midaitai. If somebody comes and stays in a house, an empty house that I have, one night he sees an empty house and he goes in there, and it's not a house that I rent out. And it's not a house that I would be using anyhow. And then later on I found out and I say, you live there. You have to pay me rent. The Gemara says, it's not a house you rent out. So you didn't lose anything by it. He had gain from it. Now, that's midas deim. Then there's a Mishnah in Masechet Avos. We brought on Shabbos, Mishnah Perikei. It says, Shali, Shali, Shelcho, Shelcho, Yeshem Mimzu midas deim. That when a man says, what is mine is mine, and what is thine, I don't want anything from you, and you don't take anything from me, then there's an opinion in the Mishnah, that's midas deim. This was the quality of the people of Sodom. Now, the Maral asks a good question. These are the qualities of Sodom. Sodom were roim v'chatoim l'ashem me'od. They came to the greatest evils in the world. So this is what you call the qualities of Sodom. If a person says what is mine is mine and what is thine, or if it's a case of merely not wanting to do a favor for another person that you can do without having any inconvenience yourself, is zubilvad, only this, rakzu, only this is the midas of Sodom. So I'll answer something which is very deep. He says the Chazal saw, the sages saw, that what brought the people, the Anshei Sodom ve'Amora, to this enormous dead-end road that they went on. What caused this? What was their source? So the Chazal saw that their source was that they had no chesed in themselves whatsoever. They were not capable of doing goodness for anyone else. No chesed. Like the person who here, by selling his field, one way he can do a tremendous chesed for one person, and it won't cost him any money whatsoever, and he chooses to sell to the other person, and deny the chesed to the first one. Or by zenen of zere chotzer. This was their beginnings. Now, generally we take on that if a person cannot do chesed, it means he's not a gemel chesed. He's not an Avraham Avinu. If he's not capable of doing a favor for someone else, he's not an Avraham Avinu. He says, no, that's not true. If chesed is the ultimate in goodness, and a person has no chesed in his heart whatsoever, this means he has no goodness in himself. And a person who has no goodness in himself will eventually come to the greatest evils in the world. very important. I'll repeat it. Someone who cannot do a favor for someone else is not merely lacking in the quality of Avraham Avinu of Gemilas Chesed. But since Chesed is the ultimate of true goodness, this means this person has no true goodness in him. And a person who has no true goodness in him will eventually become Anshei Sdom, where Roim Bechatoim Mi'od Lashem. That means they are evil. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man with goodness in himself. And if he has not this goodness where he can give from himself to someone else, even though he receives nothing in return, where he can do a true goodness for someone, that means that he has driven that goodness that he was created with out of his heart. And eventually then he will go along the path of evil all the way to the end of it. Now, the Gemara brings in Masechta Sanhedrin. I'll quote it from here. Actually, the Maral speaks about this in Perek Hei of Nesiv Gemilas HaChesed. But the Gemara brings in Sanhedrin what we mentioned before, Tona Rabbonu, Anshei Sdom leinizgoel bishvil reiv teva shishbiel lema Kodesh Baruch Hu. The people of Sdom, they came to this because of the enormous goodness that Hashem gave them. When Abraham told Lot, he says, "We have too many sheep. There's not enough pasture land here. Let's spread out." So it says Lot looked. He looked towards Sdom, and what did he see? Vayisa Lot es eino vayares kol kikra yadin. He saw the whole area of the Yadin. Kikula mashke. It was all beautifully moist and full of water. Lifnei shaches Hashem es dem v'zamora. This was before the destruction of Sdom v'Amora. Kigan Hashem keretz Mitzrayim, and it was like a garden of Hashem, like Eretz Mitzrayim. They had an enormous goodness in their land. Makshiv boy, what does it say? Eretz bimeni yotzalechem. It was a land which bread came out from. Mokam sapir, sapphires came. Still, nesiv lo yodu ait. But there were no travelers. No people came through that land. Why? Omru, they said, because we have everything, what do we need travelers for? They're only coming to take our money from us. Bo v'nashkech regel me'atzeinu. Let us go and make sure that no one will come to us. Now here we see an interesting contrast, just the opposite of Abraham. Abraham was the one who was yeshiv kechem aryeim. He was sitting in the heat of the day in front of the tent, and he was all upset that no travelers were coming, because he had so much he wanted to give to others. And Sdom and Amora, they had so much, they said, people will only come to take from us. Let us make sure that no travelers will come through our lands. And that's why they started to institute all of these distorted laws to make sure travelers won't come through. And it was a land that had everything. It was desolate. Travelers didn't come through. They weren't. Abraham was capable of giving from his possessions and from himself to everyone. You see, so far Abraham went that he even wanted to help the Anshei Sdom v'Amora. He went and fought with HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the lives of them. And they could not give anything to anyone. This was their beginnings. And this was their ends. Now, one final point. The Gemara tells us that the quality of Chesed builds. It states that by Chesed is Yeshlem Peiris Be'ilam Azeh V'Aken Keyemus Le'ilam Abo. When a person does goodness for another person, the reward for that will always remain in the next world, but it will give forth fruits in this world. And our rabbis teach us, that there's almost no quality like chesed to create fruit. We see tzedakah, especially when it's done with chesed, to create fruits. Chesed builds. Why does chesed build? This we see from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, why did he do so? The world was not demanded from Hashem. What made him do so? Nothing demanded it from him. Deen, justice didn't demand that he created a world. Tzedakah didn't that demand that he creates a world. There was no world, there was nothing here. So there were no needs. So it wasn't required because of justice. It wasn't required because of rightness. It wasn't not required because of tzedakah, because to fulfill a need. So what was the motivation of Hashem to create the world? So Chazal say the motivation of Hashem to create the world is lehetiv es habriyos. He wanted to bring goodness to creations. He wanted to create people to bring goodness to them. This is chesed. And this is what David HaMelech wrote, Olam Chesed Yibona. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world which its motivation was chesed. What do we see? We see chesed creates. Therefore, when a person does chesed, he is attaching himself to that great quality of the Almighty. And it creates, it builds. It builds worlds. And it'll build fruits. The contrast is when a person cannot do chesed. The Mora says, for example, it says, Lechor v'yushalayim ele mivnei shehamidu kol divrehem al din Torah. One of the causes why Yushalayim was destroyed is because everybody went only with din. If someone would come and he would ask me for something, I would say, it's mine, it's not yours. If someone would come and he would want this, I would say, no, we'll go to the Beis Din. If the Beis Din says it's yours, all right. If the Beis Din says it's mine, then it's mine. Keep your hands off of it. No one was mevater. No one would go beyond the din. Lechor v'Yishalayim, Yishalayim was destroyed because Hamidu kol divrayim al din Torah. This was din. And din is the opposite. And to the contrary, we see that when you go too much with din in this kind of case, and you can't give from yourself to others even though it doesn't belong to the other, we see that therefore can bring churban, that can bring destruction. And this we find in the creation of the world. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after he decided to create the world, because of his motivation of chesed, it states that in the Maase Bereishis states Elokim. Elokim is the shem of Hashem, the name of Hashem for din. Later it brings the Shem Havaya, Yudke Vovke, which is Rachamim. Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world with Din, but then he saw it wouldn't survive. If everything is going to go only according to what is mine, what is yours, then he saw it wouldn't survive. So Shitev Midas Rachamim, he had to bring in another quality of compassion. So we see Din cannot build. Deen alone can bring a destruction. And this was the quality of the storm in Amora. They said, what is mine, and what is thine. I won't touch yours, and you don't touch mine. But we will isolate ourselves from each other. Don't come and ask me for anything. Don't come and ask me for any favors, and I won't ask you for any favors. If that's the case of Deen, then they brought Churban. And we see the greatest destruction that was ever brought on anyone was Sdom v'Amora. And we see, even in a greater perspective, of the Dor HaMabul, of the flood, of the great flood. Why? It states when the Almighty brought the great flood, it says, Him Teremayim, he brought water unto the world. The Chazal tell us that first it was Gishmei Brocha. First it states rains. He brought rains, hoping that if they'll do tshuva, then these will be rains of Brocha, blessed. Only afterwards it was turned into flood, Mabel. But first it was Geshem al Oretz, rain. So even when he was bringing that punishment, it was a combination of Din and Achamim, a combination of the strict enforcement of what is right and wrong, but also with compassion. But when he brought his punishment on Sodom v'Amorah, there it says, Himtir gofris ve'esh. He brought sulfur and fire. There, that was a total destruction. A total destruction. And that was because of their qualities, that they had no goodness in themselves, but only this evil. So here we have this contrast. From one aspect, there was Avraham. And Avraham had this enormous amount of love and goodness in himself that constantly poured over to others, merely because this is what he wanted to do. And he needed this constant outlet for it. And Sodom and Amorah were the opposite. While Abraham was looking for Orchim, they locked up their land and isolated themselves from others. And they said, what is mine is mine, and what is yours. Don't ask me for anything, and I won't ask you for anything. Kefin al midas dom. And therefore, they had no goodness in themselves. Abraham's goodness brought him to the great glory of building Klal Yisrael. Sodom v'Amorah, there was binyan, there was building. Sodom v'Amorah brought themselves to total destruction. And Eliezer realized this. It's interesting also to note that Lot, the Torah tells us Lot knew this, and still he chose to go live amongst them. See? So this is an insight into Lot. And also it's interesting to note that even though Abraham knew this, he still had so much goodness in himself that he went and stood up for them and tried to win their case, defend them. But Eliezer knew this. And therefore he said that, let me test her to make sure she's for my master Yitzchak, for the house of Abraham. I'll test her with chesed at its highest level. First I'll ask her, give me something to drink. If she'll comply, that means chesed. But it's not a total chesed from her own. I asked her. And if she'll say, v'gam gam alecho, and also your camels I will go, Esau achachta, then she, I know, she is the one who has been chosen for my master Yitzchok and the house of Abraham.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.